All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to be doing this this week and next. And tonight we're going to talk about faith, and next week we're going to talk about forgiveness. What I've been doing with the youth is using this little book here, and it's called Exploring Christianity. And I thought it was very important, especially for our youth, to really understand what this whole book right here is about. I mean, it's important for us to know what we believe. I mean, it's hard to believe something that you don't know what it is. And so we started out almost a month ago on this. First week kind of talked about life, you know, that we do have a purpose for life. We're, you know, that the whole Big Bang thing just didn't happen. We're not just some kind of random thing or whatever. I mean, we do have purpose in our lives, and that's to glorify God. We're supposed to show people who God is by the things that we do and say and everything like that. So we talked about that the first week. The second week we kind of talked about who God is. You know, we don't want to look at Him as some kind of grandfather figure or father figure that, you know, He's just nice all the time and He's just there to care for us. I mean, that is part of it. God is love, but, you know, He also in the Bible pours out His wrath on people. You know, there's a lot of qualities to God, so we can't just think that He's just up there watching us and making us happy all the time. You know, there's more to it than that. And the last thing that we talked about was Jesus, and we needed to understand who Jesus was. That, you know, He was 100% God, 100% man at the same time. You know, and it's important that we understand that, you know, He came and did what none of us can do and lived a perfect life and went to the cross as that sacrifice for us. So because of that, we can all be saved. And so we're going to talk tonight a little bit about faith. And so I just want to open it up. I do this with the youth all the time. You know, they usually talk a whole lot, and sometimes I have to gear them and put them right back on track. So I don't know if I'm going to have to do much of that tonight, but I do want this to be kind of interactive. I know that's normally what y'all do, is you kind of talk through things. So that's the way I want it to be. I don't want to do all the talking tonight, because y'all will definitely get bored just hearing me talk and talk and talk. So so tonight's topic is faith. So can anybody tell me, give me a definition of what faith is, or what does it mean to have faith in something or someone? Anybody got an idea right off what they think faith is? A true trust? Okay. Okay. It's something that we believe so strongly that it's going to affect the way we live. Okay. Right. Anybody else got anything? This might be sounds like the answers I'm getting so far. This is going to be a pretty easy thing for you guys to grasp. I've asked Smokey, what's faith? That's okay. I'll ask you at the end. You can give me a good answer by the time we're done. I got this little illustrated Bible dictionary, and in here I looked up what faith is. And the definition that they give me in here is it's a belief and confidence in the testimony of another, particularly God's promise of salvation and eternal life for all who place their trust in Jesus Christ. And in here it references John 5:24. And in that it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So if we kind of pick that apart a little bit, you know, it says Jesus, first of all, right there says, "Very truly I tell you." So He is saying that beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is how it goes. It says, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me. So He's talking about God there. Him who sends me will have eternal life. So they won't be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And what do you think that death to life is? I mean, what are we dead to before we become Christians? Sin. We are dead to sin, so now we're going to have some kind of life through this belief that we're going to have. Also in here it says that it is a gift of God. Faith is essential to salvation. Ephesians 2:8, and y'all probably heard this quoted over and over and over, and it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." So that right there tells us that, even though we have our faith, it's by grace you have been saved. It's nothing that any of us can do. As much as we want to try to control things and be in control, we can't control our destiny as far as what happens to us after our life is over. We have no control over, we know we've done wrong, we know we've sinned, but there's nothing in this world that we can possibly do. There's no amount of good things that we can do to make ourselves right again with God. A lot of times I always use this illustration with the youth. There's always this huge gap. All right, and on one side we have God, and on this other side of this gap we've got man. We've got us, and there's no way that man can jump over. The gap is just too big. But, I told the youth, you can start piling stuff in this gap, you might go to church, you might read your Bible, you might have your quiet time and pray daily, you might listen to 91.9, listen to all this gospel music. You can start trying to pile stuff in this gap, but there's no way that gap's ever going to be filled with all the stuff that we do in order for us to get back over here to God. It just isn't possible by us. But the Bible tells us that God sent His only Son, Jesus. And if you take a cross and put it in that gap, the beam that runs across allows us to get back to God. It's our only choice is Jesus. And so it's by that grace, it's by what Jesus did, it's by what God allowed His Son to do, to come and live on this earth and die for us, that allows us to have this salvation, but it's through faith. So let's go more into this and see what this faith is, because we know it's a gift from God. It's nothing that we've done to earn. So in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith and not by sight. If we take a look at this a little bit, let's just take the example of light versus darkness here. If it was 12 o'clock at night and I had you guys sitting in here and asking you to open up your Bibles and start reading to me, but there's absolutely no light, more than likely most of y'all are not even going to be able to get to the right page. If you happen to, by some miracle, get on the right page, unless you have it memorized, you're probably not going to be able to read it to me. Normally we rely on our sight for a lot of things. Because normally if we can't see it, normally what do? We don't know it's there and we steer away from it, right? If we're not certain of something, we're going to stay away from it. If I go outside and I hear a snake and I can't see where that snake is, I am not moving anywhere until I find the thing, because I want my sight. I don't have faith enough in my ears and everything else to keep me away from it, so I want to be able to see something. It's a whole lot easier when we have light on things to have that faith, to have that confidence. But the Bible is telling us here that we don't live by seeing everything. We have to have faith. Because raise your hand in here if you've ever seen God. I'm glad none of you raised your hand. Okay, because none of us have. I mean, none of us know what he looks like. We know that we're made in his image. But if you look around the room, nobody in here looks the same. So we don't know exactly what God looks like. You know, but we have faith that he's there. So, I mean, where does this faith come from? I mean, we can't, it's nothing that we can hold. You know, we can't hold God. We can't smell God. We can't taste him. We can't touch him. We can't see him. That's all five senses we have. So if our bodies need these five senses to kind of tell us everything, that's how we know things, because the way we experience stuff. How in the world do we know this God? You know, if we can't use our five senses, there's got to be a little bit more, and we have to find that in faith. If you guys want to, I know most of you have your Bibles, so if you want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. This is kind of the big, where I got most of the scripture tonight is found in here. And I'm sure most of you have probably at some point in time read this chapter, seen this chapter. You know, this is the chapter that over and over and over says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. This is like the Bible's Hall of Fame right here. He's just picking out all these people from the Bible that by faith they did things. But tonight we're going to just focus on two guys. And can I get a volunteer to read so y'all don't have to sit here and listen to me the whole time? Just verses 7 through 11. Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews 11. Verses 7 through 11. Anybody want to read that? Okay. Okay, so we got these two guys. We got Noah and Abraham. So how do you think that Noah and Abraham became confident to do something that seems so weird? So let's start with Noah. I mean, everybody knows the story of Noah, especially later on in his life. And what was one thing that God commanded him to do? Oh, build an ark. All right, he is in the middle of the desert, and God tells him, build a big boat. I know a long time ago, this was when I was still in the youth, we went out here on the road and we actually marked how big this thing was. I don't remember how wide, but I remember that it took up probably about 3/4 of Pearl Avenue all the way down. It was a massive thing. And he told Noah and his family to go ahead and build this big boat because what was coming? Rain, a flood. All right. I don't know how many of you have ever actually been to a desert, but flood insurance is not one thing that is really needed out there. You have a bunch of sand around you, and that's about it. It might be a few cactus and some trees or whatever, but, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, they're not used to having a bunch of water coming. All right, so here he is out there in the middle of the desert building this big boat. All right, and this boat didn't take just a couple weeks, a couple months to build. It took him a while. I know a lot of times we think, well, he just went out there and put it all together. Now, he didn't have any DeWalt tools and all these circular saws and everything to get all this stuff cut and put together real quick. So he's out there and he's building this big boat with his sons. And I don't know about y'all, but if I would have seen this guy out there doing that, I would have thought he was crazy. And I thought, what is this goon doing? He's building this big old boat. I mean, what's one thing that is necessary for a boat to have purpose? It is water. All he's got is sand. I'm sorry, a big boat is not going anywhere in the middle of the desert in sand. All right, so he perseveres. I mean, because there were people that come out here making fun of him. Yet here this guy sits there and continues to obey God. God said, I'm sending this water, this rain, this flood. It's coming. And, you know, Noah's sitting there. And he just listens to God and does it. I mean, he doesn't know what this rain is. He doesn't know that it's going to... He doesn't fully know everything that's going to happen. I mean, we can be kind of like Noah. I mean, raise your hand in here if you know what's going to happen tomorrow, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Okay, I mean, most of us have plans. I'm planning on getting up early in the morning, getting ready, and going to work. Do I know that for sure that's going to happen? No. You know, I'm planning on going to work and doing my job. And everything, and I'm planning on this Friday getting a paycheck. Does that mean that's exactly going to happen? No. We don't know exactly what's going to happen the next day. We have an idea, but we don't know. So Noah, he didn't have a clue. I mean, he didn't know for sure that all this stuff was going to happen. But he had a little thing called faith. He trusted in this God to do what he said he was going to do. No matter how ridiculous it sounded, no matter how much he was going to be ridiculed and made fun of, you know, he went out there and he built this boat. So let's look at the other guy. Let's look at Abraham. And most of us know the story about him. Here, we're given two stories about Abraham. The first one is he's asked to leave where he lives, and God says, I want you to go. And he says, I've got this land that I promised for you, and I want you to go there. I don't know about y'all, but I'm born and raised here in Concord. I've traveled other places and stayed there for a week or so, and this is home for me. I don't want to live anywhere else. Concord's home for me. But God's telling Abraham, I want you to take all your stuff, take all your possessions, take your family, and move. And do you think Abraham sat there and thought about it? Okay, God wants me to do this, but you know, I've got my wife, and she's pretty settled being here. She likes it over here. You know, I don't know. Maybe I should ask her permission. Some of the men in here may know how that goes. You don't want to upset your wife. So let's go ask her and see what she says. Or, you know, maybe he thinks about it. You know, I've got my house. I've had my house here for a long time. I'm used to being here. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't like change. But as the story goes, you know, he immediately follows God and what he says, and he leaves and goes to this other country. All right, and he's not living in anything grand. It says there that he was living in a tent. You know, that doesn't seem all glorious. But sometimes things aren't always so glorious when God asks us to do them. I'm sure when Janice and Joey had got their family up and went to Bangladesh, y'all didn't have a clue what y'all were in for at first. There's no way. I mean, you going from a complete... Anybody that's ever been out of the country, you go somewhere else, you're going to have some culture shock. You know, we've got it made over here. We really do. We've got anything and everything that we could possibly want. But here they go over there. They've left their family. They left their house. They left everything they knew here. And they went over there. And so they had to start adapting. But you guys felt God calling you to do that. So, you know, how can things go wrong if you're obeying God, right? So they get up and they leave. Abraham's kind of doing the same thing. He doesn't question God. God says, I want you to go here because this is the land that I have promised you. It's your promise. This is what I want you to have. And so Abraham doesn't think, well, what's it going to cost me? What, you know, what do I have to do to get prepared? You know, do I have enough donkeys to load all my stuff on? You know, do I have all my chickens that I need? And said, no, he doesn't care about all that. God commanded him to do something, so by faith he went. Then later on it says that, you know, it's talking about him and Sarah. And, you know, they were on up in age. You know, he was close to 100 years old. Now, granted, people back in the Old Testament, you know, some of them lived quite a long time. But anyhow, he was well past his age, and she was well past her age of having kids. Okay? But what is one thing that God promised Abraham? He was going to be the father of many nations, right? He said, you will have a lot of descendants. That's something else that he promised Abraham. And, you know, if he would have thought about it, logically he would have said, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to have a kid. I'm way too old. My wife is barren. Barren women don't birth children. They're barren. You know, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't make sense. But what did Sarah and Abraham do? They had a child. They believed God. They believed that he was going to provide a child for them. So if we look at things here, you can see that Noah and Abraham both were living by faith. They weren't living by sight. They weren't looking at things that they could see. They couldn't see the flood coming. They couldn't see this child coming. They didn't know exactly what the promised land had in store. But still, for some reason, these people trusted God. It just kind of baffles you, doesn't it? I mean, why in the world would they listen? You know? I mean, granted, this would be crazy, but I could tell everybody to go up to the top of the church and jump off. You'll be fine. You can fly. How many of y'all believe me? I know nobody's going to go out there and try it. But, I mean, it just seems crazy for somebody to say something like that when in your mind you think, there's no possible way. So, you know, I know you guys aren't going to believe me and go and do something like that. Because, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And I have no powers to make anything like that happen. But we're not talking about me. We're talking about God here. So if we look back at Hebrews 11, staying in the same chapter, and just look back at verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So let's break that out a little bit. What does confidence mean? It says, now faith is confidence. What does it mean to have confidence, or what is confidence? Anybody have a clue? Okay, it's a hope. It's a knowledge. Okay. All right. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's Webster's dictionary told me that it was sure of oneself. That you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that something's true. You have confidence in it. You know it. In this case, that Webster's definition right there is really dangerous. I don't ever want to be sure of myself. Because, you know, just like Joey says all the time, we're fallible. We mess up. You know, what we may think of stuff is not always the truth. I don't want to rely on myself. So I'm going to change Webster's dictionary a little bit and their definition and say, confidence is sure of God. That's what we have our confidence in, is God. All right, let's look at it a little bit more. So now that we know kind of what confidence is, it says it's confidence in what we hope for. So what is hope? Sharon mentioned that word just a second ago. She kind of put hope with confidence. What is hope? Okay, right. If yes, hope is a sure thing. Right. There's different definitions of hope. You know, hope is something that you said you. What did you say again exactly? Something that you look forward to. All right. Here's a good definition of that kind of hope. Let's all think back when we were children. All right. We wake up on Christmas morning. We've all made out our list of Santa Claus. We come downstairs, or if you didn't have an upstairs, you just went into the living room, wherever the Christmas tree was, and you had stuff on this list, and you just hoped and hoped and hoped that it was going to be under that tree. Did we know it was going to be there? No, I'm sure most of your parents probably tried to get you what you wanted and put it under the tree, or at least one of the things that you wanted. But that hope was, you know, I'm sure there was probably plenty of Christmases you got up, and some of us may have been a little disappointed because there was something on that list that we wanted that we didn't get. And, you know, that hope like that is kind of disappointing, isn't it? Yeah, any of y'all ever disappointed when you don't get what you want? Think of all of us, if we're honest enough, we're going to say, yeah, if I don't get that, if I don't get my way, if I don't get what I want, you know, especially when we're that age, we throw a little hissy fit. But the hope that we're talking about here, and Brenda, tell us what you said a second ago. All right, our hope in God is a sure thing. All right, that's exactly right. The hope that we're talking about here is a sure thing, something that we hope for. It's something that we know is going to happen. Hope is a sure and steady belief in God's promises. All right, that's what our hope is in. We know that, and I don't have nearly enough time. Joey could probably spend another 4 or 5 years each and every Sunday going through all the promises in this book. There's tons of them in here. God makes promises all the time, but the thing that we know about God and His promises is what? He keeps every one of them. There's not a single one in here. Now, all of them haven't been fulfilled, so we can't go and say, well, I read this one in here and God ain't done it yet. Well, no, but we know that He is faithful, and in His timing, things will come to pass. But, you know, there are a lot of promises in there that God said, this is what I promised and this is what's going to happen. So we have that hope. So now we know that faith is a confidence. So it's being sure of God in what we hope for or what God has promised us. So I ask you guys at first, what is faith? So now I'm telling you, faith is to be sure of God's promises. In simplest form, it's being sure and knowing what God's promised us is going to happen. That's our faith. All right? And there it says, and for assurance about what we do not see. So what is assurance? This is the important thing about going through and studying the Bible. There's all these words in here mean something. So, I mean, what is assurance? What does it mean to have assurance? We can kind of go back to what it says. It's a promise or a guarantee. All right? If we know something that is, if we have assurance in something, you know, if you pick apart that word a little bit, sure is in there. Of course, you got to add the E back in, but sure is in assurance. You know, when we're sure of something, we know it without a shadow of a doubt. It's truth. It's true to us. That's what assurance is. And we can have that. We can have assurance. It tells us we're going to have assurance about what we do not see. So if we have assurance about what we do not see, we can kind of go back to that. Well, never mind. I'll get to that in a minute. I hadn't got to that verse yet. So we've got this whole faith thing, And it is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. All right? So it says here that many people fear that stepping out and putting their faith putting their faith in God because they think life will end for them. They think life's over. All the good times are gone. You know, they think life now is going to be boring, or they have to be a goody-goody all the time. All right, this is the wrong perception about life as we know it. You know, how many in here, we're all professing to be Christians. How many in here think that they're a goody-goody? Good. I'm glad you don't think highly of yourself, because, you know, plain and simple is, we may appear to be good on the outside. You know, we may not see each other's faults. We may not see each other's shortcomings. But all of us have them. None of us are good enough. You know, so we're not goody-goodies. And some people think that, okay, well, if I put my faith in God, if I step out and start believing Him, then now I can't do all these fun things. You know, if anybody thinks that Christians cannot have fun, come up to the youth room sometime. If them kids up there aren't having fun to you, then I think you're missing out on the whole definition of fun. You know, us as Christians, even as we're adults, even as we're senior adults, even as children, Christians can have fun. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to sit here and be as boring as can be, and we have to do all these laws. You know, that's kind of like, that sounds a lot like the Pharisees back in the day. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't stray away from that. You'll get in trouble. Do this, do this, do this. You know, we're going to mess up. We can't follow all the laws, but God's telling us here, you know, that we're gonna mess up. We're gonna fall short. So we can't possibly be the goody goodies, and we're not gonna have this boring life. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Right. Mhm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. You can go back and look at, if you want to go back and, you know, after you guys we're done here, and you want to go back and read the whole chapter, chapter 11, and just pick out the characters here, and then go back and read their actual stories. A lot of them are from Genesis and everything, and just read these stories about these people. You know, there are plenty of characters in the Bible. She's right. With Abraham, I mean, here he is. He used his maidservant. God said, I'm going to provide a child for you. And he goes and, you know, it's not working. Him and Sarah, they waited and waited and waited, and he said, okay, fine. He used his maidservant, so he has his son Ishmael. Okay, that wasn't what God intended to happen. He did not intend him to have a child through a maidservant. He intended it to be through Sarah. Exactly, and that's the father. That's the father of the Muslim people. That's right. So I mean, it's a big oops. You know, we got stuff like that. You've got him actually saying, Sarah's not my wife, that's my sister. What? You know, people don't normally do that. That's a big oops. You got people, you got Noah. You know, we don't want to think of, we always think of him as having all these cute animals around him on this big old boat. And, you know, he saved his family and all this stuff. But, you know, we also hear the story of him getting drunk, lying naked in a tent. Like, what? That's in the Bible too. Yeah, we have all these kind of stories of people that God has called, that these people have faith, and they turn around and do this crazy stuff. I mean, it happens all throughout the Bible. You know, there's stories with David. There's stories with Paul. I mean, just look at the transformation he made with Paul. Paul did a complete 180. So we can't say that, you know, that we have to be a goody-goody or, you know, our life is going to be boring. And the reason I say this is the experience of the fullness of life only begins when someone puts their faith in God. You know, we don't truly start living until we have our faith in God. And in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Okay, Jesus said that's what he came, so that we can have life and have it to the full. He wants us to have it the best we can, to the max. You know, more of it, to the full. So if you take some time to go back and read and study the life of Jesus, you will find that he didn't live a boring life. His life was far from it. And most of all we have is 3 years of it. We have most of his life from the time he was 30 to 33. You know, and you go back and look at that and look at his life and says, this is what I came, that you can have this life and have it full. He didn't say, I want you to just sit in your pew and you can stand up every once in a while to sing a song. Then you get to sit back down. Then you get to hear whoever's up there teaching. And, you know, you go about the rest of your life and you just do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, that's not what God means by living. All right, so Jesus was the picture of life itself. I'm on my last page. All right, so in Romans 10:17 it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So we kind of know what this faith is. It's our assurance. It's our knowing something without a shadow of a doubt, but it's about God's promises. So how do we get this faith? Can you drive down the road here and go to Walmart and pick it up on rollback? Can you go down to Circle K here and get it? Is it in one of their little coolers beside the Cokes? I mean, how do we get this faith? I mean, or can you order it on the internet and have it sent? Maybe it's on eBay, Amazon, or something. It's from God. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So we get our faith right here, just like I'm doing tonight. Thanks to Vic and him setting me up with the microphone, you guys can hear me. You know, you guys can hear this word. That's how we get our faith. Somebody has to go and tell us. We can't just come up with the idea on our own. You know, just like Joey said, it's very important for us to hear and to read this. You know, God left his message, his word to us in written form. He expects us to read it and understand it and study it. So that's how we get it. We get it from hearing. So, and we hear the message, and the message is heard through the word. And it's not only just the word, but what is the theme from beginning to end in this book? It's all about one person. Who is that? Jesus. This is the story. He's there from the beginning. Because it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? He's talking about Jesus himself. He was there from the beginning. He was there when man fell. He was there all throughout the the flood. He was there all throughout the Old Testament, through the judges, the kings, all the prophets. He finally came and he died. And even at the very end, John's got his revelation of when he's coming back and when he's going to set up his new Jerusalem, his new heaven. All right? So there's this thing about Jesus throughout the whole Word. So this whole thing is about Christ. All right? So we hear the message, and the message is the Word, and the Word is about Christ. So that's how we get our faith. It comes from hearing about what Christ has done. So what has He done? What did Christ do? Exactly. He became that high priest, right? You guys know about the Holy of Holies. It's in the that one room. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and had a big old curtain over it. And once a year, the high priest would go in there and sprinkle blood on it and everything. And that was the Day of Atonement. That was the day he went in there and he atoned for everybody's sin. Did that really, truly atone for the people's sin? No, it was a symbol. It's a symbol. But he became our high priest. He became the one that was going to go to the Father on behalf of us for our sin. He was going to atone our sins. So, exactly. He was sacrificed himself. Exactly. Because that's what the high priest would take in there. Was the blood of the sacrifice. He would go over there and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant. So, you know, that is what Jesus did for us. That's the message. That is the gospel. That is what this whole book is about, is what Christ did for us. Okay? And what He did was He took all the sins of the world, all your sins, all my sins, and He placed it on Himself. He made it possible for us to finally be in that right relationship with God. So, when we look at our faith, that's what we have assurance of, is what Christ did for us. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ died for our sins. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what He did paid for all of our sins. Okay, so that's where we get this, when we go back and say, you know, is by grace you have been saved through faith. So we hear it, we believe it, even though sometimes we don't understand every detail of it. Sometimes we can't, you know, we can't see God, we can't feel God, we can't use our senses to grasp that. But we take what He says here, and we believe it. We have our faith in it. Because of that, grace is given to us. All right? It's offered for those who believe. It's a free gift, just like our. And we get that, and it's not because of us. It's the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. So that's what it is in a nutshell. So, if somebody asks you, 5 minutes. Somebody asks you, you know, what is this faith? What is your faith? I mean, we actually have something here. I picked up, it's in my other Bible. But we have our Baptist faith and message. Somebody's going to say, well, how come the Baptists have their own faith? Well, we don't. It's just the things that we pick out of here and say, hey, we regard these as truth. All right, our faith isn't any different from anybody else's. You know, God doesn't give a separate faith to Baptists as He does to Methodists or Presbyterians or Church of God, Catholics, anybody else that might be out there. He gives that faith to each and every one of us. But the only way that we can get it is we look back at at what we have here, and we see this as truth. We know God promised a Savior. He's been promising Him all the way in the Old Testament. He finally fulfilled it. If we put our belief that Jesus was who He said He was, and He actually came and did what is written in here, we believe that without a shadow of a doubt, then salvation is ours. The grace is ours. We've been saved through our faith, through what we believe. We have that assurance. Last part here, in closing, the Bible is like a manual for us. If you take the words B-I-B-L-E, just remember this. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. That's your B-I-B-L-E. Y'all can remember that. Your basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what this book is. God made us and gave us an instruction manual to teach us how we can function best. It's not how we might should live. It's not a book of suggestions. God gave us life. God says, if you want to live the way I intended you, the way I made you, the way I created you, this is your instruction manual. All of y'all can go out of here, and as long as you haven't thrown it away, you can go look in your car in your glove compartment. You've got an instruction manual for your car. Something goes wrong, if you're capable enough to do it, you can probably go out there and fix something on your car. It tells you what your car needs, all the specifications on how it should run properly. You want to know how to fix your engine? The engine in here? Right here. It's in this book. This is our instruction manual. All right, so all the Bible is inspired by God. So read it with a listening ear, and God will direct you. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the more we follow God's instruction and find that they work, the more we have faith to go further. It's just that simple. We can read this book. We get it. We understand it. The promises are there. The more we find that God is faithful, the more our faith grows. The more our faith grows and we do this, the more we're able to do what we were created for and to live the kind of life that God wants us to. So, I said I was going to ask you when we got done, Smokey, what is faith?
Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
You can't get much better than quoting the Bible. You can't get a better answer than that. All right? It is simply us going out there, knowing the promises that are in here, and believing that God's going to make them happen, no matter how crazy they seem, no matter how life goes. We believe that what God said is true. If we believe that, that's our faith. That is it, in a nutshell. All right? Is there any questions, comments? I hope I didn't bore you guys to death. Come back next week, because we're gonna have a little lesson on forgiveness. Hopefully it'll help us understand more of what God's provided for us, but you know, we also need to be showing it towards each other, which is always the hardest. It's always hard to show forgiveness, but we'll come back next week and talk about that. Is there anybody that would like to close us in prayer? Volunteer. If not, I will, but I've been talking a lot tonight.